Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cup Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round 3 recap for this week's CJ Cup. Byron Nelson joining me to break it all down. It's Greg Ducharme. Hey, Greg.
The CJ Cup, Byron Nelson.
Very, very cool. Birdies are flying. You got to go low out here, Rick. You got to get after it. And boy, some of them did today.
A lot of them did today. 2.5 strokes under par was the scoring average. That is the best of the week thus far. So there were many making moves on moving day. Greg, we always like to say and tip our cap to the guy who shoots the round of the day. We also like, and will obviously tip our cap to the guy who is in the lead. Well, both of those are the same guy. So I'm going to hold off on that and go to the second best round of the day. That's the pair of 64s, one of them turned in by Sung Kang, who has played just 3 events this year, missed the cut in all 3 of those, but he went out in 31, Greg. He gave one back on number 12. He birdied 13. He eagled 14. So he shot a 7-under 64 while not birdieing the easiest hole, 18, and also making a bogey.
Yes. Look, this was a good round of golf by Sung Kang, and it was absolutely the recipe. He hit a lot of high-quality iron shots in there, which is key, but he wasn't necessarily stuffing it in there close. But he took advantage of the par fives, except for 18, the 2 on the front 9, and he made some 15 to 20-footers. But the good news for Sung Kang was he gave himself a ton of those. He was 7th in strokes gained approach for the day. And when you add in a nice hole out eagle from left of the green at 14, that goes a long way towards 64.
Yeah, certainly does go a long way. The other 64 was Kevin Tway. Now he got busy late in his round. He birdied 4 of his final 5 holes, and we are starting to see a little bit of a resurgence out of Kevin Tway. A resurgence might be a strong word. We are seeing a pulse from Kevin Tway, who finished 3rd in Punta Cana, 11th at the Zurich Classic, and now entering Sunday, he's in a tie for 7th.
Yeah, 11th at the Zurich Classic with Kelly Kraft, who is just ahead of him on the leaderboard. So very interesting to see some of the guys who played well in the team event playing well here as well. Kevin Tway got it going on the greens a little bit today. He got hot and he finished strong, obviously, with 3 birdies on the last 3 holes. What's so impressive about him and why you kind of expect that he would do more than he does on the PGA Tour is what he can do off the tee. Yeah. He was 3rd in strokes gained off the tee today, absolutely pounding it out there, which was fun to watch. So great to see Kevin Tway back in action, making some birdies, going out there and firing 64.
The problem for both Sung Kang and Kevin Tway is that they posted their 13 under and 14 under respectively early in the day, and everybody else just tracked them down. So Sung Kang is in a tie for 11th, and Kevin Tway is in a tie for 7th at 13 and 14 under. Just a quick notable here, Greg, because I want to get your thoughts on Minwoo Lee, who has gone 66, 68, 66 this week. He had a very let him cook Minwoo stretch where he made six consecutive birdies from 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, throw in 10. He actually made three bogeys today. So, I mean, he filled it up and it was a two pencil day, but you know, Minwoo had a lot of expectations coming into 2024. We were going to get him on the PGA Tour for full-time for the first time. He had a tied for second, a runner-up finish at the Cognizant early in the year. He has not done much besides that. And he would be, and he was already penciled in as a pretty key part of that President's Cup team come this fall. What's the current outlook on Minwoo Lee?
Well, he has a very clear skill set, and that's aside from charisma and class, but his skill set is very clearly his power and speed off the tee. I mean, the tee shot he hit at 14 today had 190 mile an hour ball speed, which is way up there. He's 124 mile an hour club head speed guy for the year on the PGA Tour. That is an elite skill set. But the thing that separates the men from the PGA Tour is what you can do with your approach play. And for Minwoo Lee, that is not a strength at this point. It's an area of weakness for him. And even in this round where, you know, he makes six birdies in a row, he still loses strokes approaching the green. So that's something that he'll have to clean up going forward to be the star we want him to be, because he's so fun to watch. So has so much charisma and is, you know, a great asset to the PGA Tour. But in order for him to contend on more leaderboards, that area of his game has to improve.
I'm going to let you define this any way that you want. Who is closer to being a star, Minwoo Lee or Steven Yeager?
Probably Minwoo Lee. Although I think Steven Yeager is a much better player, which is kind of funny. I think when you talk about stars, there's more to it than just the performance on the golf course. Of course, you have to contend. You have to be in the mix with a degree of regularity, but you also have to garner a little bit of attention. You know, Scottie Scheffler is a star because of what he does on the golf course, but it's just too hard to ignore. If he was playing the way Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele play, very, very good performances, but not winning everything he plays in, well, then the stardom would decrease significantly. I mean, you can be a top five player in the world and not be a star. And I think Minwoo Lee has more of the things where he could be the 30th ranked player in the world, win a couple times and be a star.
The reason I bring up Steven Yeager is because he also shot a 66, which is a 5-under par round, same as Minwoo Lee. But the stat profile here is so interesting, Greg. You know, we have been tracking Steven Yeager very closely all year long. He is the only golfer inside the top 20. Well, hold on, let me back up. There are only three golfers inside the top 20 who are losing strokes on approach this week. Steven Yeager is one of them. He is the only golfer inside the top 20 and beyond that are losing both on approach and via the putter. So he is doing a lot of work off the tee. He's doing a lot of work around the greens. I don't know if that is particularly sustainable, but I also kind of think that even without some of his best stuff, he's in the mix.
Yes, he's very good. And this round, he did gain strokes approaching the green today, but less than a stroke. You know, less than 2/10 of a stroke. But at the same time, he hit 16 of 18 greens. So, you know, I'm very curious about his stat profile. And perhaps Minwoo Lee falls in this category a little bit too, where they're driving it. I mean, Steven Yeager especially is driving it way longer. And that's what's that has unlocked these ceiling performances. That's what's unlocked contention, especially on these kind of longer golf courses. I wonder if they're just driving it into places where their iron play, it's difficult for them to gain strokes approaching the green. It would have to be electric in order to gain significant strokes in that category. That's just a theory. But when you see someone hit 16 of 18 greens and they're kind of middle of the pack in their iron play statistics, it's interesting. But at the same time, I think it makes it more sustainable as well going forward, if that makes sense. It's not like these are bad approaches. It's just not quite getting it close.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things like, here's the data, here's the stats. You can kind of interpret this however you want. I don't think there's a right answer. I think it's something to keep an eye on. We are going to go to the top of the board. We are going to look at the odds for who is going to win the golf tournament tomorrow. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back, Greg. Let's just jump to the top five in the betting board. They're also all tied for fifth or better. Alex Noren made noise at the beginning of his round. He made the turn in 3 under. He added 3 more by the time he got to 14. And then this round fizzled out a little bit. 16, 17, and 18, he played at 1 over. Didn't birdie 17, which was the shortest it's been all week. Did not birdie 18, which is a hole that was the easiest on the course. So by him playing the final three holes at one over. He basically gave a shot and a half back to the field on those three holes alone.
Yeah, and that was disappointing. You know, he misses to the left of the green at 16, has a chip across the green that, I mean, it's a long chip, but it's all green to work with. And I wonder if he just played the wrong shot there. Could have probably played something a little bit lower, running along the ground a little more. The chip came up short, checked up a little bit more than he wanted, and he made bogey. And then at 18, he missed the green left in two and tried to hit a pretty cool flop shot that just, you know, he cut the legs right out from underneath it, doesn't get it on the green, and has to settle for par. And he had a look at 17, maybe a little longer, a little more to the right than he would hope. But all in all, it was a pretty good round of golf from Alex Noren. It's been a great tournament. His performance coming in has been spectacular. It's just been really solid in all areas of the game, including the putting, which is really nice.
It's unlikely that he wins, but it's also unlikely that he drops significantly tomorrow. So I think we are going to add another really good finish for Alex Noren to his stat sheet this week. There are two golfers tied at T3. That's 17 under par. Let's start with Matt Wallace. He is somebody who has been in the mix throughout the course of the week because he opened up with a 63 on Thursday. And while he gave one back at 16 today, Greg, he rallied with birdies on both 17 and 18. He is going to be two shots back. He's been around forever. He won in Punta Cana last year, and now we're trying to get him another victory here on Sunday.
Yeah. This is a great little recipe. If you look at this scorecard, you take advantage of the three par fives. You'd love to get six as well, but he gets 14 as well. So you got four kind of a drivable par four and the three par fives. You make birdies on those, you're in business. Bogey at 16 is disappointing. That was kind of, he was just off the green, but a three putt from him there. And he was very disappointed. And then you get a wedge in your hand at 17 and you knock it in there close and roll in the putt. I think Matt Wallace is putting really well, even though it felt today like it was pretty cold. Like he couldn't really get anything to fall except for the really easy holes, but I think he's rolling it really nice. So I would not be surprised if he made a little run tomorrow. It seems like that, is in the tank because he's giving himself looks. But Rick, you have an interesting thing on him on weaker fields. Yeah. You've said before he feasts on weaker fields.
That's right. Yeah, he has been
interesting.
I don't remember the exact stat, but it was something where if I can sort through my own brain, I was probably looking at fields that are weaker than the average field. And like basically all of his best results are like Punta Cana, Puerto Rico, you know, these weaker, whether they're alternate fields or just weaker fields, he tends to really show up there, which, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it is that a mindset thing, Greg, where you say, hey, not that he doesn't think he can win every single week, but I think a lot of these guys think they might not be able to. If he gets into a field like this, he's licking his chops.
Yeah. You know, I look at Matt Wallace and I think he's so talented. And I kind of expected a better run on the PGA Tour, but this is a DP World Tour player, right? And all of a sudden on the DP World Tour, he can be a star, and that's what gets you to the PGA Tour. But when you get to the PGA Tour, fields are stronger. Maybe, you know, he looks a little better than he really is. And so all of a sudden you get into DP World Tour type fields. And you're a star again. So I don't know how to quantify that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It feels like he underperformed the PGA Tour from his talent level. And what you see him do in these kind of fields, you'd think he has the game to step up in some of the big boy events as well.
Yeah, it is interesting. Something that we'll keep an eye on as we continue this season. Now, he is in at 17 under. Ben Coles is also in at 17 under. He has gone 65, 66, and 65 this week, Greg. He was number one in the Korn Ferry Tour standings last year, so he gets promoted. That also gets him into the U.S. Open, I believe. I did not know that. Number one on the on the Korn Ferry regular season and final points or whatever gets into the U.S. Open.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's a thing. So Ben Coles is in. 2024 has not been the year for Ben Coles at all. And now he's trying to break through here.
Yeah, and one week like this can, well, it can keep you on the PGA Tour instead of going back to the Korn Ferry Tour, which is where he's headed if he doesn't put together a great performance like he did today, tomorrow. He's got to put another one of those up tomorrow. But this is another one of those. You look, he plays the four par fives in four under. He gets number six. Oh, he didn't get number six. Well, he hit a couple of really good wedges at 3 and 13. Hit a couple in there close, which was a huge asset to add to the bonus of playing the par fives four under, which is just awesome. But he was great with his iron play in this round. He was second in the field in strokes gained approach, hit a number of shots inside of 6-7 feet, and even missed some opportunities, 8-10 footers. So this was a high quality round. And, you know, of the guys near the top of the leaderboard, he kind of looked the best. You know, I mean, Jake Knapp was smooth. Matt Wallace looked frustrated at times. Taylor Pendrith, we'll get to him in a little bit. But Ben Coles looked rock solid today. And it seems like a couple more of those putts balls, and he had 62 in this round pretty easily.
The guy sitting in solo second was the guy who put himself on a very exclusive list. That's Jake Knapp. He along with Tiger Woods and Scottie Scheffler were the only two golfers to open up 64-64 at the Byron Nelson in its history. Now, Greg, this wasn't a bad round. It was a 67. It was a fine round. He beat the field average by a stroke and a half, and he spread his birdies out. 1, 5, 14, 18, all pars otherwise. What'd you see from Jake Knapp today?
I saw a very solid performance. A couple of loose tee shots, the number 9, for instance, the par 5, the only par 5 he didn't get today. He had to basically chip out on his second shot. Even 18, he had to chip out. So there were some loose tee shots, which is, quite frankly, that's probably why Jake Knapp hasn't performed at the level we saw in Mexico or at the Farmers or the Cognizant Classic, but a little inaccuracy off the tee. I do think this course allows it allows for a little bit of that, but sometimes it got him today. But he was really solid with his iron play. He gave himself a ton of good opportunities, and it just felt like the putter, which has been very, very good this week, was cold. It just felt like he couldn't get anything to drop, couldn't garner any momentum. But he made some really nice par saves. I mean, even on like 9, he gives himself a good opportunity for birdie after a bad tee shot. 12, he has to lay up, which is a par 4, and he gets that up and down for par, which was huge. And then he gets up and down for birdie at 18, which puts him in, I think they're going in 2s tomorrow. If that's the case, it puts him in the final group. So it was really, I thought, a rock solid performance with just a little bit of a cold putter.
The man they will all be chasing. The man who shot the round of the day, an 8 under 63. The man who made not one, but two eagles. And, oh, by the way, they were on consecutive holes, is Taylor Pendrith. Taylor Pendrith opened with a birdie on number 2, an eagle chip in on 5. I would call the eagle on 6 more of a hole out. That was from 41 yards. He birdies 9, and all of a sudden he makes the turn in 30. Two more birdies on his second 9. And Greg, now Taylor Pendrith, who has battled a shoulder injury this year, a rib injury in the past, just the inability to stay healthy, can really put a stamp on his career, not only any year, but a year that will end with a President's Cup in his home country.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing because this is a player, when he is healthy, Rick, on our Monday show, our DFS show, we are all over this guy because he's so talented, and he absolutely smashes it off the tee. He stripes it. So that was really fun to watch today. Lost a couple to the right, but all in all, it was pretty much a stripe show off the tee. And I think Ricky's still dealing with this shoulder issue.
I think he is too.
It's not fixed yet, but here he is putting himself in position. Look, the bonuses are 5 and 6. Those hole outs are huge bonuses, and they really spurred this round on. Other than that, it was pretty simple. It was a nice wedge into number 2. Easy birdie at 9, and then hit it close at 12 and rolled in a beautiful putt at 13, which really, they had a great worm cam of this, and you could see how quickly that ball started rolling. It's something Taylor Pendrith's been doing, and that's kind of scary heading into tomorrow, because he put the ball on the green, and you leave yourself on this golf course a lot of putts in that 15 to 25 foot range. And you have to make a couple of those to spur on these low rounds. And I think what he has going on with his putting stroke certainly allows for that.
You know what would help with a shoulder injury?
No.
$1.7 million.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's a lot you could do. Maybe get a cold plunge for the house.
That would take a little pain away for at least a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Pay treatment.
It would be huge for him. You know what else that would help with, Rick?
What's that?
That event in Canada at the end of the year.
Tell you what,
man, it'd help for that.
At this pace, with the way the Canadians are playing, that's going to be an all Canadian team.
It kind of feels like it should be.
Well, I wonder who's like the 12th best Canadian in the world. How deep would we have to go to fill that roster?
Well, where would like Adam Svensson be?
Yeah, he'd be like 7. Right. So we've got Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith, Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, Adam
Hughes,
Mackenzie Hughes. We're at 6 already. Glygic would probably be like 12.
Who would be 12?
Michael Glygic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're probably in that range. You got Roger Sloan.
Sloan is 8. Okay. We've got 8 of them now. Oh, man. Does the OWGR have a bi country thing?
Yes, they do. I can walk you through this. Why not do it on air?
I got it. Except it's a very old, like the website. They updated the website. Okay, here we go. All right. So we named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6. We have the top 6. Sloan is pretty far down there, and Glygic is even farther. So we missed Ben Silverman is 131st in the world.
Okay.
Aaron Cockerell is 218. Miles Creighton, Stuart McDonald, Wilson Bateman, Roger Sloan.
I had none of those.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So that would be your President's Cup team of all Canadians.
Okay. So we're probably not going to get all Canadians.
I would say not. No.
Right. You're still going to get your Tom Kim, and Sung J.M. has to be on the team.
Jason Day. And Wu, Adam Scott.
Yeah, you got some Aussies. It'll be tough for some of those Canadians to make the team, but I think they have a pretty healthy group of 5, 6. A Pendrith win would really help with that.
They're doing a good job.
Very.
Let's see what Vegas thinks about the final round at the Byron Nelson. I think it's close at the top. It is. Pendrith is the favorite, one shot lead, plus 190. Jake Knapp, a shot back, plus 240. Wallace, plus 650. Ben Coles, plus 900. Alex Noren is 14-1. Ben On is 28-1. Kelly Kraft is 50-1. That's everybody in the top 5 plus Ben On.
Mm. Here's the hard thing is, if you go down to like Alex Noren, right? Rick, I know he was on your betting card as a winner.
Yeah, it's kind of a pickle for me now, right? He's like, I think he's probably too far back, but I'm not really ready to abandon him.
So what I feel the same way. So what do you think is the winning score?
I need, if Noren can win, it needs to be 23 under, I think.
Right. Okay. So Noren could go shoot 8 under.
Yeah.
It would be a pretty wild round, but it's very possible.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Shot. It's what Pendrith did today. He'd have to be three better than what he did. I mean, it would have to be pretty, or you'd have to get significant help from Pendrith and Knapp.
Which, so let's say Pendrith and Knapp struggle. I still think 23 is in the cards. I mean, for Wallace or Coles to go shoot six under, you know, or you add Knapp in there for him to shoot five under, for Pendrith to shoot four under, like one of those guys is going to do that, I would think. Right. One of those four.
Right.
So I think 23 is the number. I think Noren can get there. I don't think anybody beyond Alex Noren can get there. So you're basically looking at Pendrith, Knapp, Wallace, Coles, Noren as the guys with a real chance to win.
And if it gets to like 24 or 25, it's probably just Pendrith or Knapp.
And that's kind of the camp that I sit in, is this is Jake Knapp's second win tomorrow.
I think I agree with that. I mean, I think Josh said it in the chat. The right word for it is it was a professional round. You know, it clearly wasn't his best stuff, but he beat the field average. He kept his position. He made a couple of birdies late to stay within arm's reach and get into the final group. I think he is probably discussion we were having earlier. I think Alex Noren is like the best player at the top, but I think Jake Knapp is probably the most talented. I mean, Pendrith has a ton of talent too, but I think that there's a really Pendrith chipping in for Eagle twice. Like, I mean, it feels like Knapp's going to win this.
Hard to replicate. I mean, Knapp leads the field in approach for the week. You feel like he can kind of get away with some of his errancy off the tee, which he struggles with. I mean, I've heard some people in the industry say the short game is a little bit of a weakness, but he hit some, like the shot he hit at 14 was unbelievable.
I was going to say the only short game shots I saw him hit today were all great.
He is also, I got to look this up, because I think his bunker play is unbelievable. It may have changed since, you know, he was the talk of the town earlier in the year. But let me pull up this. I'm going to jump over to his profile, because he is a sick bunker player too.
Let's see here. What do you look at? Sand saves? I got sand saves here.
Yeah. What do you got for sand saves?
37th in sand saves, 60%.
Okay. So this fell up. There was a time during this year. Yeah. He's 35 of 59. Oh, here you go. Proximity to hole from the sand. He's first. Mm. He averages 6 feet, 2 inches. So he started missing some putts. There was a time when he was like 17 of 19 in sand saves. it's just a joke.
That was probably unsustainable.
So yeah.
Still pretty good.
Well, his putter fell off a little bit for a few weeks. So that's understandable. But the point being, Rick, I really think he has a fairly complete game. And the one weakness that I would say he has is he can get a little loose with some tee shots. But I don't think that's a big penalty here.
We'll see. And we'll be back to discuss it. Let me put a bow on two things we talked about earlier. So I could not find the exact thing that I wrote up, but I did find a tweet about Matt Wallace that I sent out. So I sent this out the Mexico Open. Basically, for the Mexico Open field, Wallace was first entering the week in strokes gained per round against weak fields, below average fields, and he had 5 career worldwide wins against those fields. So that was that nugget. And then the other one is they changed this a couple of like 2 years ago, but now I did confirm it's the USGA that gives the exemption to the guy who wins the Korn Ferry points, both the combined, both regular season and playoffs.
Winner of it all. Pretty cool. One other thing, it is not twosomes tomorrow. It is threesomes. I feel like we're doing PTI corrections. it is threesomes, Pendrith, Knapp, and Ben Coles in the final grouping.
Split tees.
Split tees.
11 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern.
There's some weather coming in tonight. I wonder if there's more weather Sunday night as well.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Well, we will be back Sunday night, hopefully, I imagine, with the conclusion of the Byron Nelson. For now, big thanks to producer Josh. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.